Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's a really fine Friday afternoon in February. I'm out and about. It's pretty quiet here about on the towpath of the Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal. And even though the world is in a bit of a state at the moment on many levels and in many ways, and there seems to be chaos and strife everywhere, nevertheless, since I am one of Her Majesty's pensioners, I'm going to feel free to wax poetic about the gateless gate of human passion. The term the gateless gate is often used to refer to Zen in Buddhism. You say the gateless gate of Zen. And perhaps you can imagine these scenarios, and traditionally there is a traditional imagining like this, whereby somebody in their old age, having discharged their family duties, goes off and retreats to the mountains in order to encounter the gateless gate of meditation, or Zen. Lao Tzu did something like this, didn't he? He kind of abandoned his post as an official librarian, and the unsavoury situation in his country, which was during the period of warring states, and he made his way off to the west, to the mountains, to the Western Gate, which means he went off up into Tibet, obviously to finish his life in contemplation. And we have the same story in the Indian scenario, and you have this traditional idea of ashramas in life, you know, stages in life. Like you study, you're a student, and then you're a householder with children, and then you discharge those duties. And maybe you discharge some duties towards business, activity in the economy. And then at the end of your life, you just drop everything, become a sannyasin, a renunciant, and you just drop everything. Pare all your possessions down to a loincloth, a jug and a stick, whatever, and make off to finish your life again in contemplation. I suppose what we're meant to see in these stories is how mortality eventually drives us, if we let it, into a contemplative state in which we try and establish larger verities about human life through less involvement in the ordinary affairs of the world and more involvement in our own thinking, our own feeling, our own interiority, our own silence, our own imagination. All of this through some kind of broadly contemplative activity. And I think there's something in that. Now that I'm one of Her Majesty's pensioners, you know, I am kind of aware, more than I used to be, of the way we are driven like that. Now, you can actually be in that sort of orientation to existence quite well before you draw your pension. So, why is the gateless gate gateless? It's actually because the gateless gate is everywhere. It's not a special place. Nevertheless, to pass through it is to undergo a transformation and a transmutation. Even though this gate has got no kind of specific location, or even any really gate-like qualities. It's a gate and yet not a gate. That's the gateless gate. Of course, it is everywhere. It is everywhere. I think that just comes, I think the phrase, the gateless gate, that term, admirably captures the way in which that transformative opportunity is ever present in human life. And that's why I connect the gateless gate with human passion. Now, some people think to go through what we might loosely call some kind of spiritual transformation or spiritual transmutation, involves either denigrating or actually excising the passions, the human passions. And we do hear this, and you do find reports of this approach and admonitions to take up this kind of ascetic approach to human transmutation. The phrase, this gate, very precisely pushes you away from that tendency. It's in its own essence as a phrase, it's anti-ascetic, because it's telling you it's everywhere, including in human passion. So why does human passion get denigrated by spiritual traditions? It's thought to be worldly. Yeah. So we have this worldly, unworldly binary which structures a lot of these discourses. And very often they're discourses of human improvement. There's the ordinary me now that's going to become the extraordinary me later on. So you have programs of self-improvement. And again, that's not the gateless gate. The gateless gate says it's everywhere, even in your imperfections, however one is to measure them as imperfections even. So if the encounter with the gateless gate is the splinter in your mind, the question that won't go away, then you must pursue it. But don't think that it's necessary to just deny the passions, or to have guilty feelings about feeling the so-called pollutants, you know, like lust, anger, these kind of things. You know, they are as much the gateless gate as altruism, compassion, non-violence, generally saintly and virtuous existence. The gateless gate actually is everywhere. This is not to say you've got to go around blowing your top every time you feel like the minutest little shard of anger, or enjoying being filled with hatred, or just indulging violence on a whim. Don't mean to say any of those things. I mean, always remember, you have to be practical. Always you have to be practical. And to be practical, you need to live in this world, in this human world, in society, and move very well around in it. I mean, you do actually need to be a good citizen, to my mind. But that doesn't mean obeying like fascist governments. It means being good to others, and kind to others, and helpful to others. But it's on the terrain of interiority. It's on the terrain of what we might find when we go away up the mountain, and we sit quietly, and we stay on our own for some time, and we practice perhaps formal meditations, such as allowing ourselves to settle, sitting nice and straight, and allowing everything to settle. Allowing the intrinsic silence of being to come over into the foreground of consciousness. Don't get too prescriptive about that, but you do something. You do something that gives the quiet a look in, basically, and what's going to work for you probably might not work for Fred over there. But you need something that's going to let the quiet come in. So you're in solitary, you're up the mountain, you're in nature, everything's quiet. You have some kind of little tricks to help you to quieten and settle in to where you are. Then what? This is what we're talking about when I'm saying the gate, this gate of human passion. What then is ready to emerge into consciousness? And for a certain type of person, that will be very passionate, that emergence. And if you're doing this right, you experience a lot of energy, you know. And that energy has an erotic character very often. That's why sexual arousal is instructive, because it has an identical character to a more generalised raw energy of passion. that you can find in meditation. And this is tremendous rocket fuel for contemplation and meditation, in my experience. If you can allow it, but you have to be able to allow it. If you struggle with it, you kind of damp it down. Because even if you don't win the struggle, you attenuate that activity of passion. And 9 times out of 10, the passion will win, but it will have been attenuated in some way. Now, you need to be able to allow it and be with it. And I don't mean be a detached observer of it, a witness. It is not witness consciousness. You actually are with it, you're in it. It is you. And the allowing is sufficiently profound for it to be you and you to be it. So it's more about mergence than separation and witnessing. It's mergence. So this is mergence with the Beloved. It's the Beloved presents herself as raw passionate energy. And as I say, you get into that, you be that. And that is the gateless gate. That is the gateless gate. You know, that is the non-existent membrane. Not actually separating you, but appearing to separate you from your Beloved. But that is where the actual ever-present unity with the Beloved is realised, made real. When the light goes on, that, okay, this is how it is. This is how it is. This is what it is to be human. Without inhibition, without all the hazard and misery of self-cultivation and asceticism, but with an actual raw truthfulness. And this in yoga, this is the practice of satya, and in perhaps in some version of Sufism, this is the drama of the lover, the Beloved, and the love between them. And how that draws us into emergence, or if you like, more accurately, brings to the fore the ever-present unity of love, lover and beloved. This is the same thing. We have different languages for speaking about it. You can speak about it as you look at it from the north, or as you look at it from the south, from the east, so on. You move around this gateless gate, you know, and a number of languages fit very well and give you an indication of where you need to go and what you need to be doing. But what I'm recommending here is not repression. Certainly not antisocial behaviour, but that's like a different matter. You know, this is about when you go in deeply into your solitude and deeply into your being as it is at this time. Anyway, I recommend it. I can't prove that I'm talking sense. There'll no doubt be a number of people pop their heads up and say, what's he on about? And so forth. But actually, the most that I can kind of do is to, with a bit of luck and a following wind, emit some kind of irritant that irritates one or two people in a useful way, in a way that allows them to catch this marvel. And to catch this most life-affirming truth, that human passion is a gateless gate. Anyway, that's the sermon. That's what that was. It was a sermon. Thanks for listening. Keep listening, please. I've got lots of things on the anvil at the moment, including a fairly in-depth look at nihilism and its variants, because we've been asked questions about that recently, as well as some more episodes on the blue pill or the red pill, the play of the real world and the apparent world in philosophical and cultural discourses as they are instantiated in the film The Matrix. Okay, that definitely is it. I feel a bit rambly today. If you listen to the birds a moment, you'll see it's very, very spring-like. There's actually a wonderful sort of fluid peace everywhere at the moment. It seems to be particularly concentrated in the surface of the water, which seems to have a skin on it. And it's all really very nice somewhere, even though I'm in amongst some kind of industrial shit and railway tracks and so forth. It's hard to think, you know, there's a loony with his finger on the red button, the Armageddon button, you know. It's just, and if he has even has like a little spasm or a twitch, he might set off the end of all this wonder, you know. Any road up. Mustn't get carried away.